The Hoop Heads Podcast is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey Hoopheads, check out these great deals this July from our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Get $4,000 off any machine in their professional lineup or $1,000 off the Dr. Dish home machine. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Those are some great deals, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Coach Lionel Garrett from Wilberforce University, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads Podcast. It's Mike Linsing here. Hey, back with my co-host, Jason Sunkel.
Yeah, we took a two-week hiatus last week.
It's been a while, man. Well, a lot has happened in the NBA, brother.
What? Free agency? What? Summer League? What? So Mike and I talked before we start recording, and we were like, man, when you miss 2 weeks, especially the silly season, 2 weeks.
Yeah, we missed a lot.
It was really hard for us last week. I was in New Hampshire, and then Mike was in Chicago. For basketball for his son. So it was like – it was basically ill-fated for us to try and figure out a way to record a podcast. So we're just going to kind of go with it. We've decided we're not going to talk too much free agency. There are some minor things. Obviously, being Cleveland-centric, we're going to start and talk a little bit about the Cavs' moves. Cavs got rid of the last piece of the championship, the LeBron era. That honestly, Mike, that was the one thing that made me the saddest, right?
Really?
No. Like, it has nothing to do with, like, Chetty being – like, I think Chetty's a good dude, like, whatever, and, like – but – that was probably of all the things we lost, that was the one that was made me the saddest. But at the same time, I mean, Chetty wasn't getting us anywhere. Sorry.
It only makes me sad in the sense that I don't think he ever lived up to what potentially he could have been. I mean, clearly there was a huge opening for Chetty did on this team.
Mike, I'm going to tell you, would you be surprised if next year he playing for the Spurs and playing for Popovich had career highs? Would you be surprised?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, on that team, there's probably going to be opportunity too. It felt like either Bickerstaff didn't like him or he just continued to be the same sort of inconsistent guy that he's been throughout his career. So we'll see. Hey, you can play for Popovich for the next 5 years, right?
Yeah. 80 million, Mike.
That's crazy, man. Crazy. How old is Popovich now? He's got to be 75.
Well, let's see.
Isn't he coaching when he's 80? I mean, I think he's in his early 70s.
I mean, Al Michaels is broadcasting.
That's a little bit different level of energy, broadcasting a game versus going through the grind of a travel of an NBA season.
74 years old.
All right, so he's going to be 79 years old when that contract is over.
Joe Biden is the president of the United States, Mike. You need more energy to be the president than to be the coach of the Spurs. Come on.
Look, man, I'm always advocating for younger presidential candidates. How about that? That's my only political view right now. Let's get somebody under the age of 80 to run for president. How about that? Come on, America. We can do it.
Mike Linsing for president.
I have full confidence. No, thank you. No, thank you on that. I do not want that job, but there's got to be somebody under 80 that does.
Yeah, all right, sorry. I didn't mean to think this is a political thing, but I'm just saying, I think Popovich will be fine. Listen.
All right. Okay.
He's been doing
We'll talk. We'll talk Wemby in a second. That was another topic we got to get to.
And then, him, Chetty being chipped out, and Lamar Stevens also going, and then who else? There was one other that I'm forgetting.
Maybe. Of any significance? I don't think so. We didn't send anybody else out of significance.
And then we got Strus, we got Gorgui Jang. Say that 25 times fast. I mean, I like Gorgui Jang. I think it's a good pickup.
Not Gorgui Jang. George Niang, man.
Oh, God.
Two different guys, man.
They sound the same.
Two completely different guys, man.
Oh, God. Well, that's a good start to the podcast.
Yeah, it's all right. So,
George Niang. The three-point shooter from Philly. I know that.
Yeah. So, here's what I like. Look, I like Strus, right? I mean, I think, is Strus the perfect player? I don't think so. You'd like him to probably be to fill really what the Cavs need. You'd like him to be 3 inches taller. But the reality is that Strus has started every game for Miami in their two long playoff runs. So he's a guy who has experience. He's a guy who's still not young, but relatively young. He's a guy who's continued to get better. I don't think he's a guy who's going to sit on his money and be like, oh, I finally got this big contract. I think Strus is going to be a good addition for the Cavs. I think he's better than Lamar Stevens. I think he's better than Chetty Osman, clearly. And so I think he brings something to the table. Niang, I like what Niang brings theoretically in the regular season, where he's a guy who they can bring in. He's a big, so he's 6'9", 6'10", something like that, and he can shoot it. But the question is, and I think this has been the question wherever he's been, whether it was in Utah or Philadelphia, can you play him in playoff games because of his defensive liabilities? But in the regular season, he's a guy who can shoot. I don't think like gave up a huge amount of money in order to bring him in. So I was good with that move. And then of course they did some little minor moves around the edges with Damian Jones, the big guy they got out of. Did he come out of Utah? I think.
Well, I mean, he's got two championships, right?
But he was in Utah, right?
Yeah. But I'm saying he got championships with Golden State.
Okay, well, there you go. I don't think I even knew that. So that goes to show you. Back ends of rosters are not always our strong suit.
Yeah. He's a two-time champion, buddy.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll take it.
Most rings on our team.
We'll take it. And then we got Ty Jerome from Phoenix. Hey, who
Donovan Mitchell played AAU with Donovan Mitchell, right?
Sounds good to me.
I just saw him, Donovan Mitchell, share a picture on Instagram just like old times, and it was a picture of him and Ty Jerome from like –
Ty Jerome played well for the Warriors when he was with the Warriors and was getting some actual minutes and playing. Yeah. And so I like that pickup too as a guy who – look, is he a difference maker? No. But is he a guy who could potentially help and give you some depth if somebody gets hurt? I think from that standpoint, it's a good pickup. The question for the Cavs still comes down to, was last year's playoff situation against the Knicks, was that an anomaly or was that really what this team – is? And I'm choosing to go with the idea that it's an anomaly. And I'll come back to my same point, and I think we can leave the Cavs here unless you have anything else to say. It still comes down to the development of Evan Mobley, and Mobley's got to get better offensively. And until he's their best player, if Donovan Mitchell continues to be the Cavs' best player for the next 5 or 6 years or 2 years, however long he's going to be here, then this team is not going to be a legitimate title contender. Mobley has to become their best player. I don't know when that is, but the combination of what he can do defensively, and then maybe he's not your number one option on offense. I'd love it if he could become that, but he certainly has to develop his offensive game where he becomes a guy that you can give him the ball and he can at least go and score and do things. And in the playoffs, at least he wasn't up to that particular challenge. So we'll see what happens. But the Cavs, I think, improved themselves. I don't think they gave up much to do what they did. To be honest, going into free agency, I don't know how you felt, but I thought that they were pretty much going to be hamstrung and their roster was their roster. So for them to be able to make some of these moves that they made, and I think turning Stevens and Osman into Strus, to me, that's a net positive. You get a guy with tons of playoff experience. And I think the Cavs, considering where they were at, I think they did really, really well in free agency. Again, with the condition that they didn't have a lot of flexibility in what they were able to do because of all the picks they had sent out for Mitchell and just where they are salary cap wise.
Yep. And so it'll be interesting to see, like, is there, there has been talks that the only way the Cavs would trade Jared Allen, if there was a home run deal. So like they're not going to, and I just don't think there's going to be a home run deal right now for Jared Allen. Like, and once again, these are all rumors and we don't have, it's not like Kobe Altman's coming out here and Mike Gansey's coming out here saying, oh, we're looking and exploring and trading Jared Allen. They're not going to do that because I think they're smart business people. But I think, listen, the roster is better than it was last year, theoretically, right? Agree?
Yeah.
Agree with the statement. I will say defensively, we're probably worse, right? Like, slightly. Like, Lamar Stevens was defensively a strong defensive player. Like,
he was a good defensive player. I mean, most of the time he's playing, he's undersized against the guys that he was trying to defend, which is the same thing that Strus is going to be. He's going to be undersized.
Yeah. So, I mean, the starting lineup is going to be Mobley, Allen, Strus, Garland, and Mitchell, right?
Right. So you're essentially starting a three-guard lineup.
It's such a far departure from what 2 years ago we were starting 3 7-footers.
Right. Exactly.
So that then goes to who's the first is Niang the first one off the bench?
Well, I mean, you don't have any other bigs. I guess Damian Jones maybe, but yeah, you'd have to think Niang's the first guy off the bench. Plus, he gives you some flexibility in terms of.
We lost Sideshow Bob too, Mike. We did lose Sideshow Bob. He went to play with his brother.
I won't miss Robin Lopez all that much, I can honestly say. Well, I might miss him as a personality, but I'm not going to miss him. His performance on the floor, I will not miss.
So is there any, like, we still need a big guy. Like, we still need a big guy, right? Can we sign someone off of the street? Like, does Shaq want to, like, come out of retirement and play for, like, 5 minutes a game or 10 minutes?
Can't we get Bol Bol here, man?
He's going to Phoenix. Come on.
And he's not really a big guy anyway, but there has to be more to the Bol Bol story than any of us are aware of, because there's no way that you can watch the best version of Bol Bol and not.
Dude, if he signs
want to have Phoenix, that guy on your team.
If he signs with Phoenix,
there has to be something wrong, though. There's got to be, like, whether it's medical or he's just a knucklehead or something. Like, why, if you're Orlando, what, you're paying Bol next to nothing. Why are you getting rid of him? It makes no sense. Denver, look, I know that maybe there wasn't room for him to play 25 minutes a game, but you're telling me that a guy that does the things that that guy can do, that teams don't want this guy? It makes no sense to me. It makes
no sense.
San
Antonio really just needs to make a push so him and Wemby can get on the floor together.
We'll see. We shall see.
I think he's going to be Phoenix. It seems like all the reports are saying
that's what it seems like. Good pickup for the Suns, obviously. I mean, in my opinion.
So that was going to be my next thing. I think the Suns, Mike, did a lot with what I didn't think they were going to be. I think the Suns have to be title favorites, right? Like, theoretical, on paper. I'm not saying how I feel. You don't think so?
I'm out, man.
Oh, come on.
I'm out on Phoenix. You want to know why?
Why?
Their best three guys, I just don't think defend at a level that you're going to need to defend against the best teams. I don't trust Durant at this point to stay healthy for an entire season, an entire postseason run. And to be honest, he's been, I would say, now look, he's still Kevin Durant, so he's been well above average as a playoff performer, but you compare him to peak Kevin Durant in the last two postseasons, and you look at the series that he had against Denver, and then you look at the series that he had the previous year against Boston, and I just don't think there was a lot there.
Okay, so who had the best free agency then? The Lakers?
It's hard to say the Lakers because I just don't know what they – I mean, yeah, they did lots of little things. No big splash. Look, Phoenix made a big splash. I think Beal is a good player. I don't think Beal is a great player anymore. I think he's a very good player. I don't think defensively he really helps them. He doesn't address sort of those needs. I would not feel good about – I look at that team and I just don't think that they're better than Denver. I'm not sure they're better than – well, it's hard to know because I think all these teams now in the West, again, well, it's hard to say the Lakers because you're telling me that I have to trust that LeBron's going to be healthy for the entirety of the season and the playoffs and that AD is going to be the same. So the best – I think the best version of the Lakers is better than Phoenix.
You know, they had I don't remember what podcast I was listening to, but after the All-Star break, they had the second best record in the West or something like that. I heard like last year.
Who did?
The Lakers.
Yeah, that's not surprising. I mean, they started 2-10. So to crawl from 2-10 back to what did they end up finishing? I guess they were in the play. Were they seven? Did they finish seventh or were they eighth?
I don't remember. I just heard it on a podcast and it blew my mind. Like the second best record in the Western Conference. But we also have to remember that the Western Conference was a bloodbath. So they were all like destroying each other.
Yeah. And
do you remember, Mike, do you remember what we talked at one point in last season when we said the Eastern Conference is going to run away with the title? I feel like we pulled an episode in like January.
Yeah. Well, we talked about the top, basically right, the top five because we included the Cavs. So we said the top five in the East was way better than anything that the West was going to throw together.
Except for Denver. I think you pushed back on Denver.
The caveat was Denver. And I'm not sure that that wasn't true. Now, the anomaly was, right, there was a lot of weird things that went on in the Eastern Conference playoffs. So you had Giannis go down with that injury. Miami gets incredibly hot to beat the Bucks. The Cavs beat the Knicks, or the Knicks beat the Cavs, who don't even show up or look even remotely like what they did in the regular season. So then Miami gets a Knicks team that probably shouldn't have been there in the second round to begin with. Then they go through and all the weird stuff that happened in that Boston series. I think, I don't know, man, I'm getting to the point with Boston where I'm not quite to the level of the Harden and Embiid duo, but the Tatum and Brown duo, I'm not sure that duo is going to get it done. Now, what's going to go on with Jaylen Brown's extension? He still hasn't signed the max extension. We're on July 11th.
Have they offered it to him?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I don't think there's been any real reporting.
Doing the wink, wink, nudge, nudge thing.
People expect that he's going to get it. That's what all the speculation says, is that it's going to happen. But the fact that it hasn't happened and we're, 11, 12 days into free agency now, that – makes me wonder just a little bit about where Boston is with this whole situation. I think he's going to resign, or I think he's going to sign that extension. I think Boston probably wants it to happen. And I think Boston probably wants it to happen. Jaylen Brown probably wouldn't be completely disgruntled to end up somewhere else. Maybe I'm wrong, but it feels like there could potentially be something that Jaylen Brown might not mind going somewhere else, but
yeah,
I don't know. I'm not sold. I'm not sold on the Celtics as a championship team. Let's put it that way.
All right. So the last thing on free agency, Mike, I have to say the bizarro thing that's going to happen this year that I was looking at the moves, like, and we've talked about it. Chris Paul on the Warriors. Talk about some crazy stuff right there. Chris Paul on the Warriors. I'm actually kind of excited to see how that works, because obviously he does not play that the way that the Warriors play. But obviously they had some – they were like, listen, they had to get rid of Jordan Poole, okay? And the Chris Paul contract was going to help take care of that and everything. So – and apparently Chris Paul has been – they're saying all the right things. Obviously they're going to. But – Chris Paul's been working out with Steph. They had a good talk after it happened. And I mean, if I'm the Warriors and I'm trotting out, I mean, is Chris Paul coming off the bench for the Warriors? Right. He's got to, right. I mean, you can't,
if you're smart, unless you're going to
slide Steph into the two. I mean, that's going to happen at some point during the game, right? They're going to, I would think crunch time lineup, both of them will be out there. But like, right? I mean, it's going to be bizarre. It's going to be really bizarre to watch that happen.
Well, I think with Chris Paul, right, what you're betting on, obviously there's a lot of history and let's just say animosity between Chris Paul and the Warriors. So I think that's what makes it so surprising. But I think if you're the Warriors, what you're betting on is, even though his style isn't necessarily what we would think of as being a good fit with Golden State, I think what you're betting on is the Chris Paul IQ and the fact that he's got a super basketball, high basketball IQ, and that he's going to just figure out, okay, here's what I need to do. And then on the Warriors side of it, I think what you're trying to do with Chris Paul is, as you said, you're going to bring him off the bench. You're going to play him a lot, probably in the non-Curry minutes, so that maybe you kind of slightly reorient what you do during those minutes when Steph is off the floor to better accommodate what Chris Paul does well and has done his entire career. And you're going to limit his minutes where you're going to hope that going over the course of the season that he stays healthy and that, you know, he'll be able to play some minutes in the playoffs. I mean, that's what it comes down to is he, it's all these guys, right? I mean, you can look at these free agents and you can say this and that, but after you watch playoff basketball, you start to realize that if you're a franchise, if you're a GM, you have to be looking at, yeah, you got to take the regular season into consideration with some of your moves. But ultimately, what you want to look at is if you're a team that has aspirations to win an NBA championship, like you have to frame these guys into who are they when the playoffs come around? Are they healthy? Can they defend? What positions can they play? Can they space the floor? Are they an offensive liability? Like there's so many things that go into what a guy can and can't do. And I think with Chris Paul, it comes down to, is he going to be available in May and June for the Golden State Warriors? And his history over the last 5 years tells you the odds of him being at full strength another year older are pretty slim. Now that doesn't mean that he can't contribute and help the Golden State Warriors win more games in the regular season and maybe even contribute as a playoff player. But I'm not sure I would be counting on that to happen if I was the Warriors or any other team that had or will in the future have Chris Paul on their team. I just don't think you can count on him at this point.
Yep. All right. So the last thing we need to talk about is Dame Lillard. It's just such just a bizarre situation, right? Like we've known that he's wanted out probably for years. He's wanted out.
Well,
but he's always,
yes,
he's
and
always
no.
argued.
Yes and no.
He's always argued, oh, I'm going to stay, blah, 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 blah. Then he waits until free agency happens. And then it's like, oh, I want out now. The draft, I want out. And then he's got like the whole, like, he will not go anywhere but Miami situation. Portland's like, we're not just going to give you to Miami. Like, Miami, and I don't know how Miami makes it work and gives them enough assets. I honestly think that the season starts and he's still a Portland Trailblazer, Mike.
It would not surprise me. Yeah, it would not surprise me.
I think Portland's going to stick to their guns. They're not going to just trade him. His agent's calling all the other teams saying, don't trade for him. He's not going to show up. Like, if he doesn't show up to training camp, he's just going to get fined, right? And they can do that. Portland can fine him. They can.
Yeah. I think it's a bad situation all the way around, right? Right. Yeah, I think when you look at it, Dame, when did he sign that 2-year extension? Was that a year ago? I can't remember. It had to be about a year ago. So he signs that 2-year extension. And yeah, it's pretty nice to lock in $125 million over 2 years on that little extension. But the reason why you're extending is so you're going to stay in Portland. And now you have a situation where you're signed for 4 more years and then you're going to ask out. And if you're Portland, you drafted Scoot who played a little over a half in summer league, but what you saw of Scoot in those short amount of minutes out in Vegas gives you an indication that this guy's going to be, I think he's going to be pretty good. It would be surprising almost to the point of being stunned if Scoot Henderson isn't a really, 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 really good player. And so you look at Portland, you say, okay, do they want Miami's package that's centered around Tyler Hero when you already have Scoot, you have Anthony Simons, and you have Shaedon Sharpe, who all theoretically are guys that could, I mean, Shaedon Sharpe right now is probably a small forward, but he could eventually maybe play, end up playing the two, depending on how things progress with everybody else. I just don't think that Miami package is enough for what Portland's going to want in exchange for Dame Lillard. And look, I get the guy has been in the league and he's got stature and whatever, and this is kind of the way things have gone, but I agree with Portland. Like, I'm not just giving this guy away to Miami because he told me that's where he wants to go. And if you're another team, I guess you roll the dice if you're going to take Lillard in a trade and you're going to offer up real assets and maybe he reports to your team and then doesn't play. I don't see Lillard putting on the fat suit and mailing it in the way James Harden did.
I think that Lillard would be the Boston answer, right? Like, I honestly think that if he goes to Boston, if they could make the Lillard for Brown and whatever else they need to do, make it work. Like, to me, that's a logical move.
I like that for Boston. Do you like, I don't like it that much. Honestly, I don't love Jaylen Brown. I mean, I think Jaylen Brown is good.
But here's Mike, Jaylen Brown's a better asset than anything Miami's going to give him, right?
It depends on what you want to do, right? It depends on what kind of draft picks you can get. Because if you're Portland, Jaylen Brown is what? He's probably 26 now, maybe 20. He's a year older than Tatum, so he's probably 26 or 27. All your other guys that you're building around, I think Simons is maybe 23 or 24. And then you got Scoot and Shaedon Sharpe. So he's a little bit older than your core. Now, again, Jaylen Brown should be a good player for the next 5, 6, 7 years. He's a guy who, at least looking at it from the outside, has a great work ethic. He's a guy who's in shape. He's a guy who cares, all those things. And so that's the kind of guy that you'd want to bring in. So, yeah, I agree. He's going to provide more value to you than Tyler Hero. But I think what you have to look at is what's the draft compensation that you can get. Because if you're Portland, what you're trying to do is you're trying to build up assets that you can use to supplement what you already have. If Scoot's as good as what people sort of think he's going to be, where he's going to be a guy who's going to be a multi-time NBA All-Star, well, then you've got one guy who's a building block, and then I guess you need to find that guy in the front court. Is that going to be Shaedon Sharpe? Could it be Jaylen Brown? It could be. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is I like that trade for the Celtics because I think it changes the dynamics of their team, which I think that's what they tried to do when they got rid of Marcus Smart and brought in Porzingis. And I actually kind of like all those moves for the Celtics. I just am not 100% convinced that the Brown-Tatum tandem is going to get you over the top. So I like it from Boston's perspective. And from Portland's perspective, I don't hate it, but I'm not sure. Look, I'm not sure would I rather have Jaylen Brown than Karl-Anthony Towns, which is another rumor that I heard being tossed around out there that maybe they'd send Lillard to Minnesota and bring Towns back as kind of the centerpiece of that deal. Look, Towns, really, really good offensive player, a guy who's going to probably help you win more games in the regular season, guy who doesn't defend super well and hasn't been a good playoff performer. Does that matter to Portland at this point when they're probably not going to be a real threat to win anything? I don't know. They're in a difficult position because of the demand that he be traded to Miami. And so that puts it where Portland has to make a decision, and the teams that Portland potentially could trade with have to make a decision of where is Dame in terms of playing for our franchise and not going to Miami. And it also begs the question of if you're Miami and you get Lillard, like Miami was the ninth seed, eighth seed? They were the eighth seed, right? They were the eighth seed because they didn't catch Brooklyn. So you're going from a team that was an eighth seed in the regular season. Now I know, look, clearly Damian Lillard is an upgrade over Strus and Kyle Lowry and anybody else you're going to have there, but Dame isn't really a great defender. Dame is 33 years old or 32 years old. He's going to be making 50, then 60 something million over the next 4 years. I mean, does he put Miami over the top? Again, I guess if you're Miami, what you're giving up, you're giving up Tyler Hero, who didn't even play in your finals run, and you're giving up some draft picks that, knowing the Heat, they're going to be good. Those aren't going to be top five picks. So what are you really giving up? It's worth the risk, but I'm not sure that it makes Miami the overwhelming favorite in the East. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I don't think it does. I mean, I still think I put Miami below us, even, to be honest. Like,
yeah, as a regular season team, for sure. Yeah. As a regular season team, no question.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think ultimately we get to mid-October and the season starts and Dame is still a Portland Trailblazer. Unless something crazy happens where they got to get a third team involved, I think, to may really figure it out. But
yeah, I agree.
Honestly, Mike, I'll be honest here. If I'm any other team, I don't get involved with it, because why am I going to help them facilitate a Miami, or why am I going to help Miami facilitate this trade? If I'm a ownership group, or if I'm a general manager, this is not what I want. Okay. I don't want guys who just signed contracts to demand and that they're going trade somewhere. And I just don't think that a third team is going to get involved. I think there's a business side of things, and the second it happens,
if the package is good enough, teams would get involved. I just don't know, again, what's going to be going to that third team, because basically Miami would be trying to collect draft assets that they could then send to Portland. But I don't know then what is Miami sending to these other teams that is going to make it worth their while. I think if you're Portland, right, what you always hear is that, hey, if we're trading Dame, one of the things that's coming with that is Nurkic, right? We want to get Nurkic's contract off the books. So maybe you just have a team that takes Nurkic and picks up a couple draft picks and whatever for their trouble. Look, we can all say that collectively it would be in the owner's best interest and the team's best interest not to facilitate this trade. But we all know that owners oftentimes do not act in the best interest of the collective group. They act in the best interest of what they feel is best for their franchise in the moment, no matter what they say. So I still think it's possible.
Where is he at the beginning of the season?
I think he's with Portland, because I don't think there's a trade. I think Portland would be silly to trade him to Miami straight up. And other than that, I don't know if there's any other teams out there be willing to take the risk of whether this guy is going to show up when they trade for him. Now, like I said, I don't foresee Dame sitting out. I wouldn't see him doing that. I wouldn't see him going through the motions the way some other guys might. That just doesn't seem like who he is. But again, I don't know. I mean, if he's going to continue to get paid, right? He's going to continue to get paid. I don't know.
So where's that other guy going to end up?
I mean, I who wants him? Like, who, honestly? Like, I'm not trying to be mean.
Philly.
And my disdain for Harden is well known. But who wants him? Like, who, honestly? Like, look, I'm not an NBA general manager. I don't work for an NBA team. But how can you look at James Harden and what he's done and say, I want this guy on my franchise? Let's go through it. If you're a young rebuilding team, do you want your young guys?
Let's ask Houston Rockets. No.
Do you want young guys? Right. What did Ime Udoka say? There's no way in hell that this guy's coming to play for us. I mean, it makes sense. You don't want your young guys around the work ethic and the partying and all the other things that go along with James Harden. So no young team is going to touch the guy. If you're a team that has legitimate aspirations of winning an NBA championship, I mean, I don't know what more you have to see in James Harden's career. The track record is unbelievably clear that this guy is not going to show up in the playoffs. Now, this year he showed up in the Celtics series, right? He had two great games, unbelievable games, probably games that are on par with some of the best games in the history of the playoffs, right? I mean, he was unbelievable, scored over 40. I mean, unbelievable. And then he had five games where, I mean, he was nowhere to be found. And you're telling me as he ages that that's going to improve or get better or be different? I don't know what team. I wouldn't want him on my team for the mid-level exception. I wouldn't pay James Harden $4 million to be on my team. If he said, I'm going to come to the Cavs and they still have their mid-level exception, no thanks. Go somewhere else. So to me, if you're a contending team, I just don't see why you would want the guy. I don't get it. The only team possibly that could want him is a team that's like, hey, we're stuck in the middle. Is James Harden an attraction at the gate? Do people show up in cities?
I think he's going to end up in the Clippers uniform. I really do. I think
that wouldn't surprise me. That would not surprise me. I think of all the places that are out there that I've heard him linked to, I mean, the Knicks, why would the Knicks do that? That's the other team. And the Knicks and the Clippers are the two teams that I've heard the most. I mean, it makes no sense for the Knicks. No sense at all. Why would you want to tie up the amount of salary it's going to take for to bring James Harden?
Not only that, you just had a relatively successful run. You know, like you got thrown down in the playoffs. Why would you?
And do you want the ball? Do you want the ball in Harden's hands and take it away from Brunson? Makes no sense. I could see the Clippers only because
of injuries and
all the goofiness, and they already have Westbrook, and who knows if Kawhi and Paul George are going to play. I mean, at least there you can say, okay, we're rolling the dice with, we get the best version of Harden. We get all these guys playing at their best, and man, maybe we can make a run. Whatever. But I just don't see, I don't know why any
team. You saw that video I sent you about Westbrook, right?
Yeah. I don't know why any team would put, like, to me, James Harden is in the Russell Westbrook contract category. Right,
Westbrook's not getting paid any money at all. Now.
So I'm saying 2 years. What do you get? 2 years, $6 million, or 2 years, $8 million?
I think it was two years, eight million.
I mean, that's. I personally wouldn't pay James Harden that. I wouldn't sign him to that contract.
Would you pay Russell Westbrook for that? 2 years, $8 million.
I'd pay Russell Westbrook 2 years.
Because I know he's working. I know he's going to work hard.
I know at least the guy. He may not have the highest basketball IQ in high leverage moments, but I know that dude's going to compete.
And he's going to show up.
He's going to show up now. He might shoot 3 for 18, but he's going to shoot 3 for 18 because he wants to win and he thinks that's the best option. You're not going to get the James Harden disappearing act. Look, I would not pay James Harden anything to be on my NBA team. I would just say no thanks. And because of that, I think he goes back and sort of has to slink back into Philly. And then that leaves you with the question of what happens with Embiid? What does Embiid do? Where does Embiid go? Where does he end up? And to be honest, I'm close to the point where James Harden and Embiid's not at the same level. Obviously, he's the MVP of the league and scored 33 a game. So he's at a level slightly above James Harden. But I would not want Joel Embiid on my NBA team either because I just don't think the guy's in shape. And I've said it over and over and over again. There is nothing in his career track record that says – come playoff time, he's going to be able to play 4 rounds of 7-game series, playing 40 minutes a game like every other NBA superstar does and has to, and be able to produce in the fourth quarter. He's never done it. You can look at the guy, look at his rookie year, what he looked like, and look at what he looks like now. And sure, everybody puts on muscle or puts on bulk or whatever it might be.
Someone grows a beard out too.
He grows his beard out. Just look, he's not in good enough shape. He's not in good enough condition. And you could say whatever you want, but until that happens and until he proves that he can carry a team for 4 rounds, 40 minutes a game, and score 10 or 12 points in the fourth quarter, I'm not buying it. So to me, Philly, I said it last year, whatever, people can go into the season, call them contenders. They're not. They're just not. Those two guys, I don't care where they are, if they're the number one or two players on your team, you're not winning an NBA title. It is not happening. That's my Philly rant that I've ranted probably 25 times on the pod. Hey, Hoopheads Nation. Whether you're a beginner basketball player looking for a place to start or a seasoned vet looking to level up your skills, I want to tell you about your new go-to secret weapon. It's called Train. Train is a basketball training and education platform that gives you on-demand access to premium basketball courses created by expert coaches and trainers from around the world. Want to get better at blowing by your defender? Learn setup drills with NBA and international pro trainer Marius Williams. Or how to use the punch drag with NBA trainer Kerry Darting. Looking to level up your catch-and-shoot skills? Practice space shooting workouts with former lead female trainer for Kobe Bryant's Mamba League, San Dixon. Or if you're just starting out, learn the basics of shooting and finishing at the basket from international champion, 3-time Romanian Player of the Year, and Train co-founder Vlad Moldovaniu. Train has 32 and counting actionable, expert-led, on-demand basketball training courses that teach you exactly how to improve your ball handling, shooting, attacking, and more. For a limited time, Hoopheads listeners get 35% off monthly, annual, and lifetime plans. Just go to gotrainbasketball.com/hoopheads to learn more and sign up for a free 7-day trial.
All right, Well, we said we weren't going to talk about free agency very much, Mike, and here we are at 36 minutes. So,
all right. Well, we got a few more things to talk about.
Yeah.
We'll try to go these next few topics.
So the next thing, let's just get this over with, because the NBA in-season tournament details have been released. So I'm going to try to explain this.
You don't even have to explain it. Just
dumb way.
Do it this way. Are you buying it?
Listen, I think it's an interesting wrinkle. I don't know that it's going to land. Now, if the Cavs were to win the in-season tournament, would it be exciting to me? Sure. Am I going to buy a T-shirt that says Cleveland Cavaliers 2023 in-season tournament champs? Hell no, I'm not going to buy
it. No, it's the Basketball Cup.
Oh, that's
isn't it called the Basketball Cup? Isn't that what it's called?
Whatever the hell
it's called. It has a name.
I'm not going to buy a shirt that says it. Okay. I'm not going to. Will I be excited? Maybe will I change my tune on December 9th if the Cavs are in the championship game?
Will you be any more excited if they win the in season tournament than you are if they win a big regular season game?
Probably not. It'd be like them beating Milwaukee on Christmas Day.
Yeah. Like, it'd be fun.
Are we going to get a Christmas Day game this year, Mike? Are the Cavs a big enough ticket item to get a Christmas Day game or not? Because we're not a big enough market.
I don't know. It's debatable. I would say there's a chance, but I would vote against it if we get it,
we're gonna get like that 10:30 game.
Get that noon game. Maybe Cavs-Knicks. Cavs-Knicks.
Ooh, that would be a good game. Okay.
Cavs-Knicks.
Sign me up for that, Mike.
I could see Cavs-Knicks as the noon game. I could see that one.
Okay. NBA, make it happen.
In-season tournament, I just don't buy it. Like, I just don't know what's going to make A, the players care, B, the fans care. I do think the one thing that makes it at least mildly interesting is that you take the top four teams there and you go to Vegas for a weekend. So it could become sort of a party/event. I don't know. It was Simmons was talking about today how because the All-Star game has sort of become unwatchable in the last few years.
It would almost be a pseudo All-Star game.
Yeah, that it's like this is that's going to replace almost All-Star weekend as the big. Now, again, you're only going to have four teams there, so it's not really the same as when
Here's my question, Mike. Yeah. Since they don't know who's going there, they can't schedule any other games that weekend, right? Like that weekend, the rest of the NBA teams are going to be off.
Correct, yeah.
So could you theoretically market it as, like, you have all the other NBA players, like the big-name NBA players come to watch the games?
Or are those guys just going to take those days off and just
– I mean, rest? I don't know, because then the other thing we don't know, I mean, one would have to assume, okay, this is – they don't have them released the schedule yet, but there's going to be those games the 7th and the 9th. Right? The 7th and the 9th, which is the Friday and the Sunday.
Yep.
Okay. So they're not going to be able to have any scheduled games on the 6th because
teams are going to have to travel. Right.
If they're playing on the 6th. Okay. They're not going to be able to have any scheduled games on the 10th. So that means that players are essentially getting, if they're not in that in-season tournament, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, they're going to get 5 days off. So maybe some teams
you're disincentivized. Is that what you're saying? Disincentivized to be
disincentivized for participating.
We're gonna load manage every one of the pool games.
We're gonna end with Orlando.
Orlando's
Palm City Thunder.
Orlando's bench against Houston's bench. That's gonna be the championship game. Is that what you're saying?
Orlando versus the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know how you incentivize the players to care. And I guess, like you said, fans, look, you and I will probably be checking it out and watching it, but not because it's really going to be something that matters. Until they can make it matter in a player, look, whatever, the guys are getting $500,000. So that matters to guy 13 on the roster or somebody who's a two-way player or whatever, but you're not going to incentivize the stars with $500,000. So until it has some real meaning to the players, I just don't know that it matters. Now, you could say, well, it's going to be just like regular season games and teams are going to play hard and whatever. That's fine. But
I just don't think you're going to get – you can't generate excitement and you can't generate motivation just out of nowhere. There has to be some basis to it, and I'm not sure I'm seeing the basis. I'm not against this whole thing, but I just don't think – I just don't know why it's compelling, I guess is my point.
Yeah. Listen, maybe we'll change our tune in December, Mike.
Maybe. I don't see it. Maybe we'll change
our tune. If the Cavs are in the tournament, will you be moderately interested?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'd watch those games, but I'd be just as likely to watch a good regular season game against a good opponent if I'm watching the Cavs. So that's how I look at it.
Okay. Fair. All right. Next topic. Summer League. Your Cleveland Cavaliers 3-0. Sam Merrill had a great game. But more importantly, let's talk Wemby. Let's talk first game blues for some of these players, because it seems consistent here. I don't know. Wemby did not have a good first game. Scoot had an okay first game, right? But a good second game? Is that accurate? Until he got hurt?
Didn't he get hurt in his first game? I thought he was out in the first game. Got hurt in the first game.
He looked good until he got hurt.
Looked good until he got hurt. He had 13 points in the first quarter and looked good. Okay. So explosive.
He looked good until he got hurt. Amani Bates, the new Jordan Clarkson.
Just loves a shoot. Deion Waiters, man.
Although he's looked better the last two games, Imani Bates. And listen, he's nowhere near in the same caliber as. Brandon Miller has been terrible. He looked better. I think he's played better today.
But I wouldn't say he's been terrible. I think you look at.
He's not good at not fouling.
He's not. Brandon Miller has not leaped off the page, but at the same time, there are things about him that you can see. His length, he can handle the ball pretty well. He sees the floor. I think he's got good shooting form. I'm not sure how great of a shooter he's going to be in his first year or two in the league, but there's something there with Brandon Miller. But I think when you watch what Scoot brings to the table, I think to me, Scoot is a much more of a sure bet to reach the level that you would want from a top three pick than Brandon Miller is. Plus, I'm not sure the environment in Charlotte, what that franchise looks like, is going to look like. Maybe when new ownership takes over and they sort of clean up the organization and figure out what they're going to do and put some more money into it and kind of get things going in the right direction, maybe things turn around. But I think if I'm a young NBA player, I think I'd rather spend my time in Portland than I would in Charlotte. Let's put it that way. And then as far as Wemby goes, I think the biggest thing that jumps out for me is, first of all, you watch the guy and he just doesn't look normal. I mean, he does not look like a normal human being out there.
He looks like an alien, running. Mike.
Yeah,
you just the way we called Porzingis a unicorn. Wemby's an alien.
Yeah, there the way go. He moves is just. I mean, it's bizarre. You just see him. He's so long. I guess with him, to me, it comes down to defensively, clearly, with that wingspan and the way that his body can move, he's going to be a force defensively to some degree this season, but certainly eventually as he figures out the NBA game and he learns how to move and where to move and he gets a little bit stronger, I think he's going to be a guy that defensively is going to be a force. And offensively, he has skills that we've never seen in a guy that big. And yet at the same time, you look at it, you're like, man, he's 7'5". Like, he can basically dunk on dudes from the block, almost not even jumping. And so you want him to be able to get down low and be able to score and do some things in the post. But for me, it comes down to, I look at his body and I just don't see how that body holds up over 82 games. I just don't. I think he's going to spend his career trying to stay off the injury list. I mean, it sounds bad, sounds pessimistic, but he just,
no,
there's
Mike,
too many
pessimistic. Mike, it sounds realistic. Okay.
There's too many dudes that just are flying around that are so much thicker than him and are going to be, Mike, at his knees and his ankles, and not again. I'm not talking about on purpose.
Let's just say it. Let's just say it. Zdrunas Ilgauskas. Greg Oden. Okay. What's that guy from Oklahoma City? The guy Chet Holmgren. Chet. One guy, right. just those guys, all big like this. That like him, and I know he's even bigger than them, but he's got no. He's just so not muscularly as sound as he probably needs to be. And I know he's, how old is he? 19, 20,
19. Yep.
Like he's got to get more, like he's going to be injury prone. And that's probably why San Antonio's like, we had a bad game with him. We had a good second game. Let's cut our losses. And they said, oh, that was always the plan to have two games.
Right.
But maybe they just, he had a great second game. They're like, let's get him the heck off of that. The floor. Yeah. So he doesn't get injured.
Yeah. That's my take on it. I think if he could play and he stays healthy, which I honestly don't think is going to happen, I think that the level of ability that he has and the size is a package that we haven't seen. But that package is going to have to change dramatically in order for that to happen. Because okay, I just Mike, think at his size and weight, he's just not going to be able to stay healthy. I'm sorry.
Okay, Mike. I know we've got a bet. We got a bet on Zion. Okay.
All right. Hey, you saw the interview today, right?
What? No, I didn't see any interview.
No.
No.
I could share with you some of the details.
But here's my question: who gets the 250 games first, Wemby or Zion?
Zion.
Oh.
Zion.
He's not getting there. Still sticking with that. Anyway.
New Orleans Pelicans forward Zion Williamson knows his battle to stay on the court is going to take discipline, but he admitted Monday night that it's been a struggle so far in his young NBA career. In a surprise appearance on the Gilbert Arenas podcast, Williamson spoke about dealing with issues that have limited him to just 114 regular season games in 4 years.
The source is the Gilbert Arenas podcast. Listen,
he was asked about eating healthy to stay in game shape. There's Williamson's quote. It's hard, man. I'm 20, 22. I have all the money in the world. Well, it feels like all the money in the world. It's hard. I'm at that point now because of certain things. I'm putting back the wisdom around me. I don't want to say older because they get defensive, but I'm putting people around me with wisdom. Put me on game to certain things and just go on from there. He said some of his issues go back to having this invincibility trait that you feel like nothing can stop you when you're young. He said he had to think about the people around him and listen to those who genuinely want to help him.
He's at the Summer League game with Larry Nance Jr. today.
Yeah.
Larry Nance Jr. apparently said, it's low hanging fruit. It's a shame to see someone constantly have negative narratives around him. I think people forget we were pretty darn good last year with him playing. Listen, I don't deny that Zion is a great talent, but he's got a whole ball of wax to figure out between the dieting.
Look, I think
I'm just saying, like, listen,
there's a lot to figure out. I agree. I would 100% agree. And look, I know you're not a Zion hater. You and I think probably of anybody that's come into the league since you and I have been doing this podcast. I don't think we were any more excited for anybody's debut than Zion. I know we put out a Zion's Eve podcast, and we did a ton of Zion content back when he was coming into the league.
Here's my biggest concern. Okay. And I'm not going to try to like go too far into this, but here's my biggest concern. He's basically based on all the reports and everything he's in the same situation that Tiger Woods is in for a bit here. Okay. Like, he's going to have a lot of stuff going on. The difference between him and Tiger Woods is twofold. He's 22 years old, right? Tiger was 40. Okay. Tiger was a proven champion. And I know golf's an individual sport, but he's a proven champion who'd won so much. Zion has. Yes, he's looked great, like when he's played, but he's nowhere near that yet. He just needs to get his head on straight. I really think they like the dieting thing. They need to like put him in a padded room and feed him a diet. Like, say, this is what you need to do. You're not allowed to have anything else. Like,
they should make a move in with CJ McCollum.
Like, I'm going to tell you a story from when I used to work at Arby's. Okay. So when I used to work at Arby's, the Cleveland Browns facility was in Berea. Okay. But players who didn't have houses would stay at the hotel down the street from the Arby's, and they were on strict diet regimen. And NFL players are like, they like are on strict diet stuff, like way more strict than any other league. I think the NFL players, because they're trying to keep their weight and all that. Well, there was this one guy, I'm not going to say any names. Okay. He may have been a defensive tackle for the Browns, who Phil Taylor, who maybe would sneak out of his hotel room and come to Arby's and get 5 roast beef sandwiches and sit in our dining room or go through the drive-thru. And we got to the point where he would come through the drive-thru and say, "Hey, it's Phil Taylor." And we knew what we knew he was ordering. Okay.
Was this the $5 for $5 deal?
Oh, no, he was paying it was like,
you know, that used to exist when I was in high school. It was five regular roast beef for $5. I used to take advantage of that.
We had that deal go on every once in a while, and we were doing like $5 for $5.95. Now you got to remember, this was 2008, I think. Yeah.
That's 20 years after my 5 for $5.
It was $5 for $5.95, I think, was what we were running at the time, which still is not a bad deal. Let's be honest. They would never do that nowadays. But but listen. They were on a strict diet, and he would sneak out and get those things. Okay. And we had other Browns players that came through, but wouldn't order nearly as much. That's the problem. Zion is going to just go places, and he's in the like food capital of the world.
Okay? Like you said, he has money too. All the money in the world, baby.
Yeah, I'm just concerned about Zion.
Okay, well, see, the thing about our bet that's interesting is that if I win, it's going to pay off soon. Could pay off in 2 seasons. I could be enjoying a delicious meal, whereas yours might not pay off for 15 years because people are still going to be taking chances on him when he's 35.
There's another one. So there was a oh God, who was it? My dad had a bet about Johnny Manziel, that he was not gonna play in the NFL for so longer. Oh no, Maurice Clarett. He made a bet that Maurice Clarett was gonna take 15 NFL snaps.
Okay.
Okay, and you know the whole thing happened or whatever.
Right. And
do you know how many snaps Maurice Clarett took in his career?
14.
9.
9. There you go.
And then my dad was like, "Oh, he's holding out hope. He's holding out hope." And then eventually had to give it up. It was pretty funny.
There you go.
That's listen, at that point, we'll be lucky if we remember that bet's going on. you'll be lucky.
Right. I might be senile. 15 years down the road. I might be an old folks home at that point, man. I'll have to
hit up Cal for that.
You'll have to push my wheelchair into Arby's for my 5 for $5 deal. I'll share a couple of them with you.
Yeah. All right. Any other thing on the rookies, Mike? I mean,
I don't think once you get beyond
Chet,
those guys.
Chet has looked good, Mike. Chet has looked good.
Yeah, he's looked good.
Shaden Sharp,
he stays healthy.
Shaden Sharp had a good game tonight, Mike.
Jabari Smith, I know he's not a rookie, but he had 2 really good games, and I think Houston shut him down. He didn't play tonight, so I expect him to have a good second year.
Sharp had 26. 2-4 from 3, 8 of 17 shooting. So not like the greatest shooting night, but he has 2 posterized dunks tonight, which he's a high flyer. So that's
exciting. He's a high flyer. Yeah, for sure. Portland's gonna be bad. I mean, if Dame doesn't play, they're not gonna be good. But they're not gonna want to be good. So that is what it is. Houston's gonna be a lot better. Fred VanVleet's gonna get them into, I think, some organization. And as much as Ime Udoka, whatever
and
we
Dylan
can say
Brooks,
what we want.
Don't forget about Dylan Brooks.
No, Dylan Brooks, yeah, you can, I guess, say what you want about Dylan Brooks too. But Ime Udoka, despite whatever misgivings you might have about his behavior in Boston, I think the 1 year that he was there demonstrated that he's a guy who can coach in this league. And so I would expect him and Van Vliet to sort of get that locker room straightened out and get those guys. Look, they're not, they may not win 40 games this year, but they're going to be in a much better place for developing Jalen Green and Shengun and Jabari Smith and all these guys. I just think they're going to be in a much, much better place with their team than they were before. So I like what Houston's doing in terms of that. I think they're going to start to turn a corner, and then we'll see whether or not these guys are going to be legitimate stars in the league or what their ceiling is once we see them in kind of an organized situation, because what they've been doing down there for the last couple of years has been borderline farcical, just kind of running out there and rolling the balls out. And so I don't think Udoka is going to do that. And I think that's why they signed Van Vliet to the $130 million contract, which probably is an overpay, but it makes sense for kind of where they are in their development.
Yep. All right. Well, half of Cleveland can't watch the All-Star game, Mike, right now, because DirecTV pulled Fox off of DirecTV and AT&T, and Jose Ramirez is up with a chance to win the game, and Cleveland can't watch this. This is disappointing. I can't watch it.
Is that soccer?
Baseball. The All-Star game is tonight, Mike.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know what's hilarious is? No, I didn't. I did know that, but what's hilarious is, wasn't the Home Run Derby yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay, so I had no idea. I know there was a time where I felt like, oh, man, the Home Run Derby's on, man. I got to make sure I watch that. And last night I didn't even know that it was taking place. And I must have been scrolling through something and saw it, and that's the only reason why I knew the All-Star game was tonight. So, Ohtani, man, how'd you do?
Oh, Ramirez struck out.
All right, well, there you go. You just let all of Cleveland know.
Yeah.
Excitement's over. Hey, Tribe's in first place, right?
Yeah, first place at 500.
How many games below 500 are they? Oh, they're 500?
500.
Nice.
If we were, like, here, let me tell you this. I don't want to talk too much about this, and then we can wrap it up here. But
all right,
if we look at the standings in the American League, Mike.
Yeah.
Okay. We are at 500. The whole East, AL East, is all above 500.
Okay.
The West, three of the five teams are above 500. And the fourth place team in the West is one game under 500. All right, so if we were to do it by record, okay, we would be in ninth place in AL. But
what a great deal for the Indians that they were able to move to the AL Central when that division formed back in whatever. Because when I was a kid, they were obviously in the American League East with Boston and New York, and
there's talks that in the next few years they're going to redistrict the divisions, which I think makes sense, and they're going to try to regionalize it, and they're going to actually make it, instead of being six divisions, it's going to be eight divisions.
Okay.
Well, and the four or five would theoretically be us, Detroit, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati.
Those are four terrible franchises, or at least four franchises that don't want to spend money. I mean, baseball is such a different game because with no salary cap and the way these local TV deals are, and it's getting to the point with baseball where, I mean, there is no more national baseball games. Nobody cares about watching any baseball game really that's out of their area short of the playoffs. There's probably some people that care about watching the Yankees and Red Sox, maybe, that have been transplants that are in other parts of the country. But for the most part, baseball has become a completely regionalized sport, and it's become an old man sport. There's nobody under the age of 30 watching baseball. There just isn't. And again, it would be interesting to see 30 years from now.
Baseball disappears from
society in some way 30 years from now, because there just isn't anybody fans. Nobody cares. Nobody can care about baseball.
Yeah.
You're probably on the cusp of the last generation of people that maybe still have a care about baseball. I think once you get much beyond people who are younger than you, I think baseball is completely, it's gone. So,
yeah.
All right, we got anything else to hit on basketball wise? I don't think so. There's nothing. I don't think we missed that. I don't think we missed anything huge that I can think of off the top of my head. I mean, I know we didn't talk about every single free agency like we said we weren't going to.
Hey, listen, we're eight weeks from our segment, Mike.
There we go.
You know what our segment is, right?
Our segment is the Browns at the end. So we'll see what happens. I'm on it, man. We got it, man.
8 weeks, buddy. We're getting closer.
We'll see what happens.
We might not even have to wait 8 weeks. This preseason starts in like we're in the Hall of Fame game. I think that's
are
like,
we?
Yeah, I think we're the Hall of Fame game this year.
When was the last time we were in it when we came back? Was that the last time we were in the Hall of Fame game?
Hall of Fame game. Let's see.
I went to that game, the first game back. Darren Cheverini, man. That's what I remember about that game. I think we played the Cowboys in 99 when we came back. I went to that game.
Oh, yeah. It's August 3rd, Mike. Holy crap. Yeah. Jets-Browns, baby. August 3rd.
When's training camp start? If they're playing on the 3rd.
The Hall of Fame game's always early in training camp. So it's got to be like the end of July, apparently. I mean, that would be my guess. That's exciting, Mike. I'm a good football. I'm excited.
All right. We'll leave it there. Thanks for checking us out. And we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies. And most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the portfolio guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your coaching portfolio guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast presented by Head Start Basketball.